Come and join us. You may say, but I haven't been there yet. Come on anyway, and we'll have a great time together this evening. Do be praying for our group. As Brandon shared a little while ago, they have begun their ministry in Toronto. Today's their first day of actually doing a lot of things. They're going to be doing sports camps and leading a vacation Bible school and leading some worship services. Most of the work they're doing with John Mark and Jessica Boucher is going to be reaching out to the Muslim community in Toronto. So pray for our group. Pray especially today for Nathan. Nathan learned a little bit more about the missionary lifestyle this weekend just as he was getting ready to leave, because he got a contact Friday from up there, from one of the churches up there, and they said, okay, and by the way, you'll be preaching at the English language service on Sunday. So he was running around here Friday going, I got to preach. So be praying for him as he does that. He's going to do a great job, as you know. We're excited about that. When Bethany was about 3 years old, she walked into the den looking for me and found me sitting in the recliner reading the newspaper. Remember those? The newspaper. And she walked over and she wanted to tell me about something, so she stood in front of me at the chair and had this kind of a conversation. She said, Daddy. And I never looked up because I was engrossed in the article that I was reading in the paper. It wasn't that I was trying to ignore her. I just didn't hear her. And finally, in frustration, she looked at me and she said, Brother Jim! And I looked up and I said, what? Sometimes you have to be listening if you're ever going to hear. How many times have you heard your own parents say something like this? If you would only listen to me. How many times have you said that to your own children and grandchildren? If you would only listen. How many more times have you said with regret, if I had only paid attention? Learning to listen is one of the most important disciplines in life. Learning to listen wherever you are. Learning to listen at work. Learning to listen at school. Learning to listen to each other. Learning to listen to the people around you. Learning to listen to those who are trying to help you. Learning to listen. But most of all, learning to listen to the Lord. And that is exactly what God tries to tell us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. And what is it about? Listening. Listening to what God is trying to tell you. This morning, I want us to take some time and learn God's lessons about listening. So let's just walk through this passage together. It may be that God has something He wants you to know if you're listening. The first thing we need to know is this. Listening has to involve a subject. If you're going to listen, you can't listen to everything and everybody. We live in that kind of world. I had that conversation with someone just this morning. We live in that kind of world where there's no such thing as quiet. Wherever you go, whatever's going on around you, there's some kind of noise. There's some kind of distraction. You have to filter it out and decide, this is who I'm going to pay attention to. This is what I'm going to listen to. You do it all the time. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's unconscious. You may be sitting outside on the front porch and just paying no attention to anything, and then someone will say, listen to the songbirds. Aren't they beautiful this morning? And all of a sudden, you hear the sound of something that you did not even notice a second ago. You walk into an empty house after dark, and you're just kind of making your way into the house, and all of a sudden, you hear something go, and what happens? You hear everything. You're paying attention. Your child says to you, sit down, I have something I need to tell you. Instantly, you are all ears. It wasn't that you couldn't hear before, it's just that now you have chosen to pay attention. All of us choose what we're really going to pay attention to. All of us choose what voices are going to be the most important voices in our life. Some people choose to listen to the voice of the crowd. Whatever the crowd around us says, whatever the society around us says, that's what we're paying attention to. That's what we're doing. You don't think that's true? You get one celebrity to wear red shoelaces and see what happens to the people around you. We are listening to the voice of the crowd. The voice of the crowd will tell you, this is what you're supposed to look like. This is where you're supposed to go. This is what you're supposed to eat. This is what's supposed to be important in your life. And if you're listening to the voice of the crowd, there's always somebody else who is telling you, this is what you need to be paying attention to. Some people listen to the voice of an influencer. There is somebody in your life, and they have great influence over you. It may be somebody you work for. It may be somebody you work with. It may be someone who lives down the street. It may be somebody who lives in your house. But whatever that person says, you pay attention because you want to know what they think. Some people say, I just listen to the voice of reason. If it makes sense to me, then it makes sense. Doesn't matter if there's any evidence. It doesn't matter if anybody can substantiate it. If I think it's so, it is so. And too many people hear the voice of the one called the deceiver, the accuser, the enemy, the roaring lion. And what he says grabs hold of your heart and can terrify your mind and twist your soul. Proverbs tells us we are to listen to the voice of the Lord above any other voice. And it tells you why. Because you can trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The older you get, the more you realize that one of the greatest treasures you possess is somebody you can really trust. It is life-changing to discover that person and to place all your confidence in them. It's vital to make the decision to step out and put your trust in somebody. In fact, this is what I would tell you. I would tell you, people who trust nobody are doomed. If you don't trust anybody, then you are doomed to a lifetime of futility, to a lifetime of frustration, to a lifetime of poor judgment, because the only person you have is yourself. And unless you're a lot better than me, yourself is not always the best person to listen to. People who trust everybody are fools. If anybody who tells you anything is something you accept uncritically and decide, I'm going to apply that to my life, then you're a fool because you think everybody is equally trustworthy. But people who find somebody they can really trust are blessed because they have someone who will listen and offer guidance and encourage them along the way. You need to find somebody you trust. And the Bible says when it comes to finding somebody to trust, the Lord should be at the top of that list. Why? Because he alone is completely trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why? Because he alone is absolutely trustworthy. Every word, all the time, every situation, whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the winds of culture may blow, no matter what other people are telling you, no matter what you think yourself, there's only one voice that is absolutely trustworthy, and it is the voice of God. He will never lie to you. He will never deceive you. He will never mislead you. Whatever he says is absolutely and eternally true. Not only that, everything he tells you is for your good. There is nothing he says that will ever lead you astray. There is nothing he will say that will ever cause you harm. It is always for your good. Proverbs commands you to trust in the Lord. What does that mean? That means you can trust His word. What the Bible says is true. Somewhere along the line, you have to decide, what's my relationship with this book going to be? And if you are wise, the decision you will make is, I'm going to trust this word. I'm going to trust this as God's divinely revealed word. I'm going to believe that of all the things on earth that I can touch, this is the only thing that comes from eternal God. And every word of it is trustworthy and true, and none of it is deceptive, and none of it is contradictory, and all of it is right, and none of it is wrong. You can trust His word. If He says it, it is so. You can trust His principles. When God tells you things that you need to know, guidance for your life, principles you can apply, you can take it to the bank. It's going to work every time. You can trust His ways. What God does always, always will turn out to be exactly what you need. Now, there may be some times along the way as God is working out His way in your life when you'll think, I don't understand. I can't figure out why God is doing this or allowing this to happen. But I want to tell you something. Over the span of time, one of the things you will discover is He always knew. He always knew what He was doing. You can trust His Spirit. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Take time to listen to what the Lord is saying. Actively trust His leadership. Don't think of it as a concept or of something objective. Think of it as a, this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to actively trust the Lord. Whatever's going on, I'm going to bring it to Him. Whatever He tells me, I'm going to trust it. Whatever He reveals in His word, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe that God wants to be personally involved in my life, and that's why I trust in Him in all my ways. How do I know that active trust is so important? Because Jesus set the example. How many times does the gospel describe Him going out early in the morning or late in the day, and He gets apart from everyone else because He needs that time with the Father? He needs that time to renew that relationship, to lay out His life in front of the Father, and to make sure that He is exactly where the Lord wants Him to be. And if it was that vital for Him, it is inescapable for you. What am I trying to say? Before you listen to anyone else, trust in the Lord. Listening also involves focus. A few weeks ago, I watched parts of a number of the College World Series games. This is kind of that season of the year that Judith really likes where I'm concerned, because I watch sports all the way to the end of the College World Series. And then I take a break until it's time for college football season. And there's that 6 or 7 week period when I'm not paying any attention to anybody. So those of you who want to talk professional baseball or basketball or football with me, I don't care. I'm on break right now. If you watched any of the College World Series, though, you may have heard a lot of discussion about one of the fans for Vanderbilt, for the Commodores, who won the College World Series. They called him the Whistler. Did you see anything about this guy? The Whistler. From beginning to end, every time Vandy played a baseball game, he sat in the stands and just whistled out loud over and over and over and over and over and over again. I think his job was to do two things. He wanted to encourage his own team, and he wanted to distract the players from the other team. Now, as far as I could tell, watching the games, it didn't do a thing either way to affect those players on the field, but it drove the broadcasters crazy. He became the thing they talked about. All kinds of things are happening on the field. They're not talking about that. They're talking about that guy that's out there whistling and how much they wish he would stop whistling and how they ought to put him out of the place if he's going to whistle like that. There were times when that seemed to be the reason they were there. What happened? He caused those broadcasters to lose absolute focus on what really mattered. listening, really listening, involves disciplined focus. You got to decide, this is what I'm paying attention to. Not what that person is doing or that person is saying or that thing that's happening. I'm going to focus on the thing that matters the most. Jesus, who took that time to be alone with his Father, is also the one who declared, I do whatever my Father tells me to do. I'm focused on my Father's will. Christ knew that prayer was not just about talking to the Father. It was about intently listening as well. Let me ask you a question this morning. How is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Do you have time every day when you stop and you spend time with the Lord? What do you do when you get there? Do you have a prayer list that these are the people I'm going to intercede for? These are the situations I'm going to pray about. These are the circumstances of my life where I need God to step in. Really, I guess what I'm asking is this. How many times when you're praying do you tell God everything you have to tell him and then you get up and walk away? And you never listen to what he says in return. You never listen. I'm discovering that time with God becomes so much richer when I come to the end of everything I've planned to do. I've read my Bible, I've written in my journal, I've prayed and talked to God. And then I just wait. Because one thing I'm learning is this. If God's going to speak to you, he's not going to do it in a hurry. He's not going to say, wait, before you get up, wait one moment, well, just a second, listen to this. He's going to say, when I have your attention, I will speak. When you are focused, I'll let you know what you need to hear. It is amazing how the Lord will talk to you when you take time to pay attention. After all, we're that way with one another, aren't we? Have you ever been in a conversation where you're telling someone something very important to you, maybe something that's coming from your heart, and you look at them and all of a sudden you realize they're a million miles away. They don't even hear what I'm saying. What do? Usually you just stop talking. You're not listening. I'm not talking. And the Lord is exactly the same way. And those times when you feel as though the Lord's not hearing your prayers, when you can't understand what he's up to, you need to ask yourself, am I focused on listening and trusting the Lord? Because here's what I really believe. If you can't hear the Lord, the problem is not with him. It's with you. If you can't hear what God is saying, it's not because God is silent. It's because you're not focused. What keeps you from being focused when you need to be listening? Well, you're not focused because you already know what you think you should do. You know, you go to God, you talk to him in prayer, you tell him, okay, here's your instructions now. You're bigger than me, you do it. And you never really stop to see if that's what God has planned. Sometimes you're not focused because you're in too big of a hurry. Okay, God, I gave you 4 minutes, maybe 7 minutes. That's all the time I've got for you. I'm moving on with my life. And you haven't had time to listen. But I think maybe most of the time it's because you're not trusting him with all your heart. What I really think is this. You want God to be one voice among many suggesting what you should do. You know what I mean? God, I'm going to get your advice, and I'm going to get my friend's advice, and I'm going to get my parents' advice, and I'm going to get my boss's advice. And then after I've heard everybody's advice, I'm going to filter it all out and decide what I need to do. And the Lord just doesn't operate that way. He says, focus on me. I will tell you the truth. I will lead you in the way you should go. Trust me. The Bible says you have to make that decision that His voice is going to be the only voice that ultimately matters. Remember what Scripture says in James? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Now hear this. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You're just getting thrown one way, then another. Unless all of your focus is on the Lord. Remember, following Christ is to be wholehearted and not half-hearted. It's all about Him. And then Proverbs tells us that listening requires dependence. Proverbs says we are not to lean on our own understanding. That term lead is a word that means put all your weight upon. Whatever I lean on is the thing that I trust with no hesitation. One of the ways that I made my way through college doing years ago was house painting. I did a lot of house painting, inside, outside, anything you wanted. I painted the steeple on a church one time, and I decided I didn't need the money that much. Painted down low, but often we did paint way up high. And if I was getting ready to paint up high, and somebody said to me, use this ladder. It's old and it's cracked, but I'm pretty sure it'll support your weight. How do you think I'd respond to that? If I'm going to put my whole weight on something, I want to know it's going to hold me up. Before I depend upon it completely, I need to know I can trust that ladder. The same thing is true when you decide to put the weight of your life and your eternal soul on something. It needs to be the Lord. You can't trust yourself. By yourself, you're limited. Limited information, limited perspective, limited judgment, limited trustworthiness. Only God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-wise. Only He can carry the whole weight of your life. You can build a life upon His guidance. So depend completely upon Him. And then Proverbs says listening requires a response. This morning, somebody could rush through those doors at the back of our sanctuary crying out, the church is on fire! The church is on fire! What he says may be true. In fact, before long, you can smell the smoke and you're beginning to feel the heat. There's no doubt about it. The church is on fire. But here's the key. Hearing the truth is not enough. Even believing the truth is not going to save you. You have to act on the truth. You have to get up and make your way out, because after all, the church is on fire. How you respond makes all the difference. And the same thing is true about the gospel. Let me tell you about the gospel. It is God's good news. It tells you that your sin has separated you from the Lord, that there's nothing you can do to make your life right with God. It tells you that Jesus has done for you what you cannot do for yourself. It says He did it because He loves you, and He came for you, and He died for you. He carried your sin to the cross. He paid your price. His blood washed a sinner clean. He rose again to open the doors of eternal life to everyone who believes. And all you have to do is trust Him. and he will save you. Let me tell you something. That is all the truth you need to change eternity. As long as you do something about it. As long as you act on the truth you have heard. The Bible says if you trust him, he will direct your path. If you trust him, he will guide you. The world is a confusing place. These days, everybody has an opinion about how you should live and what you should believe and how you should act. A lot of times, the voices that you hear are in conflict with one another. They contradict each other, and you're not sure which one could be more right than the other. So many voices. So many choices. Only one voice is trustworthy and true. It is the voice of the Lord. You know the truth, and you act on the truth. You hear the greatest promise from Scripture? And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you hear it, and if you act, if you call on his name, you can know him and be changed for eternity. You may be here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know me. You don't know the mistakes I've done. You don't know the choices I've made. You don't realize that God really doesn't want somebody like me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You're a whosoever. You may be here this morning and you're thinking in exactly the different direction, the opposite direction. You may be thinking, I'm doing fine just the way I am. I don't need the Lord. My house is not on fire. I'm fine all by myself. No, you're not. Because the Bible also says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're falling short if you don't know him. This morning, you may be here and you need to know Jesus. You need to trust him as your Savior and follow him as your Lord. And maybe today, in a moment when we stand up, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if you would like to know the Lord, I'm going to be right here. And you just walk down this aisle and you come and find me and you say, I want to know Jesus. I'd look forward to introducing you to him. You may be here as a believer, but the Lord is calling you to place your life and your membership at First Baptist Church. God is calling me to be a part of what the Lord is doing through this church. And it's not really my decision, it's his decision, and he's telling me this is what he wants me to do. If he's doing that in your life today, you need to obey him, and you need to come and plant your life at First Baptist Church. You may be here today as a believer, but the truth is you've allowed your life to drift. When I read those verses together a little while ago, you thought, that's a really nice thought. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's a nice thought, but it's just a thought. No, it's not. It's a way of living. And maybe today is the day you just need to get your life back on track. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. This will be your opportunity to come. If God is calling you and there's something he wants you to do, you listen and you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.